Today I'm going to talk about a long-term service survey, use acoustic technique to study soil, like a climate seasonal effect on soil property. So we know that the most agricultural activity occurring on surface or subsurface of soil. In this region, the mechanical and the structural property affect the root growth and the plant yield. And in nature, this soil property change constantly due to the weather and season effect. And some kind of temperature fluctuation, rainfall precipitation, infiltration, drainage, water redistribution, etc. So it is clear that no any neighbor test can simulate such a complicated real condition. So it would be good to monitor such evaluation in the real world condition. So we know that because we are doing the acoustics, we know that the sound speed is a physical parameter used extensively for especially, the geophysics and some civil engineering. But unfortunately, I didn't find too much technique used in soil science for study the soil characterization. So we are going to do that. So here is the schematic diagram. We insert a so-called acoustic probe into the soil. Which consists of five acoustic transducers. We use it to launch acoustic wave travel through the soil and detect it by the receiver. And we use this way to measure the sound speed. And we also bury five TDR to measure the moisture content. Here we call it water content. And we also measure temperature. Use a thermocouple, and we also measure the tensiometer. Water potential. Use this tensiometer, and then later on we also bury the psychrometer to measure the because they are dealing with different dynamic range, and we also record the precipitation with this rain gauge. So here's a picture, and here's the acoustic probe, and here is the tensiometer, and other sensor we cannot see. And to explain why, how do we measure the sound speed? We excite the transmitter with an electrical signal, and we use a reference transducer to detect the vibration of the source, and this is the received acoustic signal travels through the soil. So if we can measure the time delay and if we know the distance, we can get the sound speed. And here is the results. We start from November 16 2005. This is the data to the end of 2006. So this part is the temperature. So this is the winter time, spring time, and summer time, and the fall, and winter again. And here is some precipitation, and this is the moisture or water content. And we started from very dry soil. And after a few rain and the moisture increase, and then during summertime, springtime is relatively constant, and during and summertime, the moisture decrease is obviously. So here is the corresponding the measurement of sound speed. You can see that the sound speed. Looks like in the opposite direction variation of the moisture. You know, during here we have a relatively constant sound speed, and during summertime we got a big increase in sound speed. corresponding to the sharp decrease in the water content. And we notice that each rain, after rain, the moisture increase corresponding to the sun speed decrease. So here is the data for the 2007. We observed almost the similar things, but you can notice that here this is the moisture content decrease, and corresponding to the here is the sun speed increase. And more obviously, you can observe it in the summertime. You know, it's a big decrease and corresponding to a sharp increase in sun speed. So, and then we, after several months experiment, we realized that the importance of water potential. Initially, we don't know the importance of water potential, and then we just measure the moisture content. So now, starting from November 9th, 2006, we began to measure the water content. Water potential by the tensiometer. So we noticed that the sound speed behavior almost very similar to the water potential. Here is the data for summertime. During this period of time, due to soil is extremely dry, it reached the limit of this tensiometer's the dynamic range. You know, it's like 900 millibar. So we cannot get data from this part and also here. And we see that the sound speed continue to increase. If we want to, I just said the sound speed behavior almost similar to the water potential. So you can see this is a close look, and you can see almost the similar things. And and this is just a recent data. Go back after you know, several rain, it's dropped down. And if we take all this data, you know, available, this is the water potential data, this is sun speed data, and we plot the sun speed versus water potential, and we found a good power law. And you see there's some kind of hysteresis, which is maybe due to some hysteresis of the soil property. So we got this power law relationship. So that means the sound speed is almost predominantly governed by the water potential. So and next, and as I just said, the tensiometer can only measure the water potential up to 900 millibar. So if soil become extremely dry, we cannot get any data. So instead, we use a cyclometer to measure so-called matrix potential. And this is also the data of sound speed. And then we do the similar things like the previous one. We take this data and plot the sound speed versus matrix potential. So we also got the same power law, but this time this metric potential is a much larger dynamic range, because remember the previous one is 900 millibar, but now it's we go to 15,000 millibar. It actually is 1.5 megapascal, something like that. And we still find this power law. So to understand this phenomena, I brought the so-called Tazaki effective stress principle. That means the soil mechanical property is totally governed by the effective stress, which is the total stress minus water pressure. So for the fully saturated soil, if you consider the unsaturated soil, you know, it's most case for the field soil, and there's a Bischoff and Blight proposed this effective stress principle like this. And if we consider this term as soil suction, and we got this effective stress is the total stress minus the soil suction. And for shallow soil, the total stress is compared with soil suction, sometimes it's very small, so it's totally controlled by soil suction. And this is the definition of the soil speed, which is the elastic modulus, a function of elastic modulus and density. And we know that from many years study, the soil speed is a function of effective stress. It's a power law. So, however, most people in developing this power law is just consider the external stress. But soil suction in here is act like internal stress. So when the soil suction change, it change the effective stress, and in turn it change the soil speed. So that's what we exactly we observed. So now in conclusion, we think the rainfall could change sound speed dramatically due to the some kind of processing, infiltration and drainage, change the water content. And good things is that we found the temperature has a negligible effect in contrast with this morning, a lot of people talk about the temperature effect. So we found the temperature has very little effect on sound speed. And also moisture play a minor role, because although we show the opposite direction between the moisture and the sound speed, but we think the basic physics is the water potential. So we think this water potential is a predominant factor that affect the sound speed. And we think probably we can, in the future, we can develop some technique, to measure the water potential in a large dynamic range. That's all. Thank you.
In the equation of Bischoff and Blight, there is a term called chi, and that runs from 0 to 1, and that is one of the most difficult things in unsaturated soil physics,
mm-hmm.
is to assess the contribution of the water's tension, suction, to the effective stress. Of course, it's a chi, chi is 1.
Mm-hmm.
And in your third equation, you set chi equal to 1 again, because there you have Tassagi's equation again. What do you do with this chi? How do you...
You mean the exponent? Maybe we can go back.
One that has the three equations. The first one is Tassagi.
Yes, Tassagi.
Equation
of what?
The second one is the equation of Bischoff and Blight.
Uh-huh.
And you can spend a lifetime and break your neck on that chi term that sits there. Chi.
Okay.
Not that one? Yes, that one.
That's true.
And then you step from the second to the third equation and you set chi equal to 1 again. Because you see there you have sigma minus phi, where phi is equal to u.
Oh.
So you're back to Tassagi again. So I wonder how you justify to set chi equal to 1, which is only true for saturated conditions.
Oh.
Prior soils, it becomes 0.
Actually, we didn't consider this chi in detail. We just roughly consider this term is approximately equal to the source suction. That is what we measured using tensiometer and or psychrometer. So we didn't consider the, you know, like air pressure and water pressure and this chi. And according to the Bischoff, and they consider this is a parameter related to the Saw property. So it's a parameter needed to be determined by experiment or just from some I don't know, maybe, yeah, you are right. This parameter is it's hard to determine. I think the only way to determine this parameter is from some experiment and the empirical expression. You cannot get, you know, I don't know how to determine this parameter right now. So in my proposal, it's just roughly I consider the whole term is the source suction. So instead, I didn't set this is one. I just consider this term is a source suction or water potential. Yeah. Excuse me?
Do you think that the electric potential will have the same effect on the sound velocity of the sound field?
Yes. Yes, I think so. I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
So you've seen the work of the Marco and Moore and others who measure this in the rock and unconsolidated media. They have a huge spectrum of velocity.
That's true. I think, you know, because because I'm doing a lot of acoustics, rock, sand, and soil, not only soil. And I found that in the literature, there is some contradictory discovery. Sometimes they say that especially when the rock or soil become extremely dry, some say that sound speed increase with water content. Some discover it decrease. I think the key point is they didn't look at the suction, because they only look at the water content. So in different I have some other slides. You know, this is the kind of things, you know, we have for soil, you have double layer, it's an absorption a film of liquid surrounding the soil particle. And you also got the capillary force. So this kind of two force is to form a soil suction. But in rocks, I think the same mechanism works in the same way. So my point is the moisture content is not very significant, but the very important thing is this suction. This is important things. Okay, go ahead.
Along the same line, it used to be continuity, because with the moisture, it seems to be a dry system is much more dispersive, lossy, because of the dispersion of the forces, and you are losing directionality. Where moisture and water content will provide smooth of the pulse energy transfer in whatever we let this longitudinal or the lateral. The wave propagation, because you have a pulse system and the wave propagates. So the dry system is much more water. So I would suspect that moisture, that the speed and you conclude the opposite.
The water potential and the moist and the moist content are actually related. You know, you can look at this kind of curve. So, but depends on you know moisture content. You know, if you increase the moisture content, you got to increase in density. So, you got the decreasing sound speed according to the definition of sound speed, because it's the rule is the here, and at the same time when you decrease the moisture content, you got an increase in suction. So this is both effect enhance the variation of sound speed. They are doing the same way. It's not opposite. What I observed is, do I answer your question?
Partially.
Partially. Maybe we can discuss later or something. But I have some other, you know, this is what we measured is the water potential versus moisture content. This is the data for the tensiometer, and this is the data for the metrical potential. So. I think that the my observation is both the moisture content variation versus sound speed and the sound speed versus the water potential are the same. They predict the same things.
I feel somewhat better because you said that in your conclusions you just neglected, you were disregarded
oh.
The moisture content.
Yes, because I think the basic physics behind this phenomena is due to the water potential other than the moisture content. Because moisture content only affects density. I observed some phenomena, you know, especially during the winter time. Because of the data too condensed, so I observed in some area the moisture doesn't change, but the water potential change. That also caused the sound speed change. So because it's a long, if you take a look at very close, you know, in some area you will see that, and also as I said. I also observe the temperature fluctuation every day, but we cannot see. We do see some temperature change in sound speed corresponding to the temperature fluctuation, but we found the reason is that because the matrix potential also changes as a function of temperature. So the basic physics is the matrix potential. Although you look at that, the temperature fluctuation corresponding sound speed also changing, but the mechanism is the force, the stress, rather than the density.
Okay, good. I think that's a great way to finish. Thanks. Those are really good questions. David, did you want to say anything about the following sessions?
We could just
which is. Okay, so the next session.